This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here for your Ag News on Wednesday morning. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement takes effect today, replacing the outdated North American Free Trade Agreement. The chairman of the Senate Finance Committee that shepherded the deal to its final passage is hailing its benefits for agriculture. Chairman Chuck Grassley says USMCA, which President Trump sought to replace NAFTA, will end 30 years of Canada blocking imports of U.S. wheat, dairy, and poultry, and a deal with Mexico's trade barriers, and more.
This new agreement will provide certainty to our farmers and ranchers and update NAFTA in other important areas. And I've already mentioned digital economy, but also customs, sanitary, and phytosanitary measures and technical standards, and it even helps on intellectual property.
USMCA will also give the U.S. tools to deal with continuing trade problems. House Ag Chairman Colin Peterson spoke at a virtual roundtable later in the day.
There are some troubling signs out there of people using COVID as a reason to put up trade barriers. We see some monkey business going on in Mexico. We continue to worry about the Canadians and what they're up to with dairy policy. So we need to be vigilant, and we need to make sure that the agreement is enforced.
Senator Grassley then echoed the concerns about Mexico.
That country has quit approving biotech traits for U.S. companies, and they have offered no satisfactory explanation for the lack of approvals. And so I expect the U.S. Trade Representative to aggressively and fairly use the tools of dispute settlement.
Separately, Grassley says he'll join fellow Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst in blocking a Trump nominee to be the EPA deputy until EPA explains its plans for 52 small oil refinery retroactive ethanol waiver requests.
Oh, yes. I think we've been playing around too much with all this stuff.
Grassley says he met with Doug Benevento and EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler recently, but wouldn't give details on those meetings. And the USMCA agreement is now fully implemented, and again will be taking place of the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was negotiated during the Clinton administration. John Newton is the chief economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation, and he says given all the challenges that U.S. agriculture has been faced in recent years, the USMCA couldn't be taking effect at a better time.
On the back of a struggling farm economy, on the back of the COVID-19 pandemic, this is welcome news, improving what's been a long and very successful trade agreement for U.S. agriculture. Farmers were excited about USMCA implementation. We had three wins on the trade front last year, when you think about the Phase 1 agreement, USMCA, and the Japan-U.S. agreement. So farmers are very excited, especially the wheat producers, dairy producers, poultry producers. They're going to get better and more fair access into the Canadian market.
Newton says the agreement gives U.S. farmers and ranchers access to two of the America's most important trading partners.
Canada and Mexico are our top two trading partners in 2019 in terms of the total economy. And then when you look at agriculture in 2019, again, Canada and Mexico are our top two trading partners. So NAFTA proved to be very good for U.S. producers, and with the improvements that we see in USMCA, it too will be a great agreement for U.S. agricultural producers.
Thanks to the agreement, Newton says U.S. farmers and ranchers will be more competitive in trade moving forward.
Not only does USMCA make trade with Canada more fair on the wheat front, dairy front, and poultry front, but we also update several non-tariff and science-based parameters within USMCA, things like SPS, GIs in terms of product names. So there are a lot of improvements in this trade agreement that should make U.S. agriculture more competitive in our top markets.
And again, that was AFB Senior Economist John Newton. In other trade news today, United Kingdom officials in London are launching an advisory group that will focus on protecting the interests of British farmers during the upcoming high-stakes trade negotiations with the United States. Liz Truss, International Trade Secretary for the United Kingdom, says, quote, trade pacts with other nations must be fair and reciprocal to our farmers and must not compromise on our high standards of food safety and animal welfare. Politico says that those two issues are among many controversial sticking points for the upcoming negotiations with the Trump administration. The White House wants the UK to ease its restrictions on certain ag practices and products like so-called chlorine chicken. The restrictions on those practices effectively keep American farmers from having more access to the British market. The trade discussions with the United Kingdom are just ramping up as the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement goes into effect today. And China recently began purchasing more agricultural goods here from the United States as the Asian country continues to recover from COVID-19 shutdowns. However, a Regina Leader Post article says China's import pace is still far behind where it needs to be met by terms of the Phase 1 trade agreement with the U.S. by the end of May. China has bought just 19% of the total purchasing target of more than $170 billion in goods during this year. Those numbers from the U.S. Customs Administration data mean that China will need to buy about $139 billion in goods over the remainder of the next 6 months. China agreed to buy an additional $200 billion in goods and services over the 2017 level of purchases by the end of next year. That agreement paused a brutal trade war between the two largest economies in the world. Quote, China will have to increase its purchases significantly in the coming months to meet the buying targets, says Michelle Lam, a Greater China economist based in Hong Kong. Quote, however, as long as China keeps buying, markets could stay calm. Industry analysts saw a significant jump in Chinese imports of American commodities in May. In June, China imported more meat than it did in May or even April. In other national ag news, USDA released its planted acreage and grain stocks report yesterday, showing that U.S. farmers planted more corn and beans this year than they did last year, but they're also facing planting less wheat and cotton than last year. Those are the numbers from the latest USDA crop production report that was released Tuesday. The National Ag Statistics Service says farmers planted 92 million acres of corn. That's well below the 94.8 million the trade expected, but still 3% higher than 2019. Growers expected to harvest 84 million acres of corn for grain. That's up 11% over last year. Soybeans planted and acreage are estimated at 83.8 million acres across the nation. That's up 10% from last year. Cotton acreage is estimated at 12.2. That's down 11% from 2019. The all-wheat planted acre is 44.3 million acres. That's down 2% from last year. That number is still the lowest all-wheat planted area on record since bookkeeping began back in 1919. In the stocks report, corn stocks totaled 5.2 billion bushel. That's up than less than 1% from last year. On-farm stock was up 3%, while off-farm stock is down 2%. Soybeans in storage came in at 1.39 billion bushels, down 22% from June 1st of last year. On-farm soybean stocks dropped 13% from last year, while off-the-farm stocks were down 28%. The all-wheat storage number totaled 1.04 billion bushels, and that's down 3% from last year. Now to your Illinois June acreage report. Corn planted here in Illinois is at 10.9 million acres. That's up 4% from last year. Harvested area for grain is at 10.7 million acres, and that's up 5% from last year. Illinois planted acreage for soybeans is at 10.4 million acres. That's 5% higher from 2019. Harvested area is forecasted at 10.35 million acres, and that is up 5% from last year. Winter wheat planted here in Illinois is estimated at 570,000 acres. That's down 12% from last year. Area harvested for grain for wheat is forecasted at 500,000 acres, and that's down 9% from last year. And area harvested for all hay here in Illinois is expected at 490 million acres. That's up 17% from last year. That total includes 240,000 acres of alfalfa and 250,000 acres of all other hay. And the Illinois Grain Stocks Report had corn in all positions as of June 1st, totaled at 747 million bushels. That's down 23% from June 1st of last year. On-farm stocks totaled 345 million bushels, while off-farm stocks totaled 402 million. The March through May 2020 indication of disappearance in corn is 480 million bushels. Soybean stocks in all positions as of a month ago, June 1st, totaled 217 million bushels. That's down 32% from June 1st, 2019. On-farm stocks is 92 million bushels, while beans off the farm is 125 million bushels. The second quarter March through May disappearance of beans is 168 million bushels. And old crop all wheat stocks in all positions as of June 1st totaled 9.3 million bushels. That's down 44% from June 1st last year. On-farm stocks is 280,000 bushels, while off-farm stocks totaled 9.09 million bushel. The second quarter March through May disappearance of wheat in Illinois is 5.83 million. And in other news from around the state, of course, the Crop Progress and Condition Report was released 2 days ago on Monday. And for that report, we'll turn it over to Mark Sloysener at the National Ag Statistics Service up in Springfield.
Temperatures were near normal and rainfall was above average for most of Illinois last week. There were 5.4 days suitable for field work around the state, and farmers used them for harvesting wheat, baling hay, and planting some double crop soybeans. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 6% very short, 18 short, 66 adequate, and 10% surplus, and that is wetter than 1 week ago. The average rainfall for the state was 1.65 inches compared to 7-tenths of an inch normally. Temperatures averaged 73.9 degrees and ranged from 1 degree below to 1 degree above normal for the week. Winter wheat harvest advanced by 37 points and is now 63% finished. That compares to 38% 1 year ago and 63% for the 5 year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop was reported as 7% very poor to poor, 19 fair, and 74% good to excellent. That is also better than 1 week ago. The Illinois corn crop is now moving into reproductive growth stages, with 1% of acres now silking. That compares to 8% normally. The condition of the crop improved to 6% very poor to poor, 27 fair, and 67% good to excellent. Soybeans are now blooming on 10% of acres compared to 12% for the 5 year average. Soybean conditions were reported as 5% very poor to poor, 27 fair, and 68% good to excellent, an improvement from last week. Moving on to hay, the second cutting of alfalfa hay is now 18% finished, and other hay harvest is 96% complete. Pasture conditions were rated 5% very poor to poor, 29 fair, and 66% good to excellent. That is a little better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And another Illinois state ag news, and moving on to the weather forecast for the next few weeks. He's not ready to call it a weather market just yet, but Freeze Notice ag meteorologist Dan Hicks is expecting parts of the Corn Belt to see some dry days coming up here in July.
Once we get into later this week and beyond, it just doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of widespread rain in the Midwest. It looks like that on average it'll probably be below normal in many areas. It certainly won't be totally dry, but I think that dry pockets may tend to actually increase across the Midwest later this week through the middle of July, and I really don't see any sign of anything but above normal temperatures. Now, again, we're probably not going to see extreme heat, but certainly a lot of upper 80s and low to mid 90s, and that may continue, you know, through the first 10 days to 2 weeks of July. So certainly based on that, the moisture demand for crops is going to be higher than normal, and if we see that spotty rainfall, the need for rain is going to increase. So certainly areas that had well below normal rainfall in June, haven't had any the last few days, and don't get any the next few days, you know, that need for rain is going to increase pretty dramatically, I think, over the next 10 days or 2 weeks. And, you know, it eventually may start to have some adverse effect on, you know, crops across more of the Midwest during that period of time. You know, how long that lasts is hard to say, but it certainly looks like we're going to start out the month of July with that type of weather pattern.
The latest USDA crop report said that 67% of the Illinois corn crop was in good to excellent condition. 68% of the state's soybean crop is currently in good to excellent condition as well. And that'll conclude your Ag News here for your Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com, and you can always find podcasts of the Farm Show online at WSMIRadio.com. So again, here for your Wednesday morning, July 1st, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.